So hello everybody, my name is Mingjia Zhang. Today, me and my colleague San Yan will share our experience on how to use deep CPU library to make serving RNN-based deep learning models 10 times faster. So here are the takeaways of the talk. So deep CPU, to the best of our knowledge, is the fastest deep learning serving library for recurrent neural networks on CPUs. We compare its performance with state-of-the-art DL frameworks such as TensorFlow and CNTK, and deep CPU incurs 10 times less latency and cost for RN serving. And more interestingly, it empowers CPUs to beat highly optimized GPU implementations for RN serving. We have used deep CPU to ship many important DL models with great latency and cost reduction within Microsoft. So DL serving refers to deep learning inference computation. So here you use a pre-trained model to make predictions for online requests. DL serving is important because regardless of how great a model is with respect to accuracy and relevance, if it cannot be served, the customers cannot benefit from it. In practice, long serving latency blocks the deployment of a lot of the important DL models. Here is a list that shows a few real-world examples that you can see there is a huge gap between their original inference latency and their target latency. Because of this gap, many of these models, although demonstrating great accuracy gain offline, they could not be deployed online. So that motivates our work on serving optimization. We want to support advanced models while still meeting latency SLA. Reducing cost is another goal for this work because many of these models have to be deployed at a large scale. An efficient serving system would significantly reduce the amount of machines needed to serve these models and potentially saves millions of dollars of infrastructure cost. So in summary, deep learning serving is a crucial aspect that decides what are the best models we can use and how cost effective we can use it. So here is the outline of today's talk. I'll first give an overview, quick overview of the recurrent neural network, which is a focus of deep CPU. And then I will show some of the real world examples powered by deep CPU and to show its performance and the capacity. And later on, we'll go into more on the features and some of the optimization techniques of deep CPU. So RNN, or recurrent neural network, is a type of a deep neural network specifically for modeling sequence data. It is really good at capturing long-term dependencies, make it interesting to a lot of text and speech-related tasks. For example, an example would be, say, if you make a prediction of the next word, it usually depends the words appear previously in the sentence. As such, RNN has been used in a lot of AI-powered solutions in Microsoft, such as machine translation, machine reading comprehension, and speech recognition. The RNN has a chain structure where each step of the chain computation corresponds to a word of a sentence. There's dependencies between these steps, and each step contains multiple matrix multiplications where they reuse the shared weights to make a prediction. There are two major performance challenges of this structure. The first one is that it has limited parallelism. Unlike in training, where you can have a really large mini batch size, during serving, the request often comes in one by one. So in order to provide responsive services, the batch size is usually pretty small. The most commonly seen is just one or at most a few. This will limit the amount of coarse-grained parallelism you can leverage for the underlying hardware. Furthermore, the long sequential dependence of RNN itself limits the amount of parallelism you can exploit. The other major challenge is it has limited bandwidth. Because the batch size is very small, the matrix-matrix multiplication of RNN eventually becomes vector-matrix multiplication. This will cause an issue known as low data reuse, where the majority of the execution time is dominated by data movement instead of performing actual computation. Because of these limitations, existing DL frameworks such as TensorFlow and CNTK do not offer very satisfying RNN performance for serving. So now we know the performance issues of RN. The next question is, why do we even bother solving it? Next, I will give you two real-world examples on why RN serving can become a bottleneck. The first case is an online web question answering scenario. So here, if you ask a question, you know, the search engine will directly return a highlighted answer with good quality instead of just a list of documents based on traditional keywords matching. One way to support such a scenario is to have a multi-layer machine reading comprehension model. So the example shown here is called the bidirectional attention flow model. So the major concern for this model is latency. Several of its layers use LSTMs, which is a type of RNN, and the computation cost of this model is dominated by these RNNs. With TensorFlow serving, it takes 107 milliseconds to make a single prediction. However, the serving latency target is less than 10 milliseconds. So even though this model demonstrated really good accuracy, it cannot be shipped because it doesn't meet the serving latency SLA. With our optimization, we were able to bring the latency down to 4.1 milliseconds without sacrificing any accuracy. That's a 20 times speed up gain. And more importantly, it changed the status of the model from non-shippable to shippable. The next example is a text similarity ranking. So here we use RNN-based deep learning model to encode the query and passages into high-dimensional semantic vectors and measure the similarity scores between the query and those passages. So the cost is a major concern for this model. The requirement for this model is it needs to measure the similarity scores for between one query and 150 passages in less than 5 milliseconds. Without the optimization, it takes 10 milliseconds to make a single prediction for a query and a passage pair. That means if you somehow manage to bring the latency down to 5 milliseconds, a distributed solution would still require 150 machines to serve this model. And this is a really huge infrastructure cost, because especially considering that these kind of models will be deployed in many instances in order to sustain the high query traffic. With our optimization, we were able to bring the latency, we were able to serve one query and 150 passages in less than 5 milliseconds on a single server machine. That's a 100 times throughput improvement, and reduce 1,000 machines for Microsoft to serve this model. So we actually enabled many DL-powered deep learning models within Microsoft with great latency and cost reduction So what behind of this is the deep CPU library. And so far it has support a wide range of RN families, including different RN cells and sequences, as well as stacked RN networks. It also has the fundamental building blocks, such as efficient matrix multiplication kernels, optimized activation functions, as well as many of the common DL layers, such as highway network, max pooling layers, multi-layer perceptron networks. It also has some special layers designed specifically for machine reading comprehension and the conversational type of models, such as various types of attention layers and sequence-to-sequence decoding for with beam search. So next, my colleague San Yan will give you a deep dive into some of the optimizations and the performance results.
Thank you, Minja. So I'll be talking about the performance optimizations and the performance results of the deep CPU library. So the deep CPU library optimizes RNN performance by taking advantage of a modern CPU architecture characteristics. To get some context, let's do a quick recap on the performance bottleneck in an RNN computation. Using LSTM sequence as an example, the figure here on the top shows an LSTM sequence computation happening over time. The input to this sequence is a sequence of words, what is atom? As you can see, there are three steps in this LSTM computation. Each of the steps corresponds to each of the words in the sequence. At each step, majority of the time is spent computing two matrix multiplications. The first one, shown in orange, multiplies the input vector corresponding to each word with a matrix W1. And the second matrix multiplication, shown in green, multiplies a state matrix to matrix W2. So in a serving scenario, the batch size is really small. So this means that the size of each one of these matrix multiplications are also fairly small. This limits the amount of parallelism available and so limits scalability. Furthermore, there is limited data reuse and the performance is limited by the data movement between L3 and L2 cache. We can see this by observing how a modern CPU architecture looks at. That's shown at the bottom right. Each core of a CPU contains a private L1 and an L2 cache and a shared L3 cache that is shared among all the cores. The weight matrices W1 and W2 are small enough to fit in L3 cache, but they're too large to fit in L2 cache. So therefore, at each step of the computation, you have to load these weight matrices from L3 cache to L2 cache. And the rate at which you can bring data from L3 to L2 is much slower than the computational throughput. So that limits performance. So to overcome the bottleneck in RNN and computation, we design an optimization scheme that is shown in the figure on the left. As majority of the time is spent in matrix multiplication computation, DeepCPU primarily focuses on optimizing those. So we do this by modeling the RNN computation as a matrix multiplication graph, where each node in the graph represents a matrix multiplication, and edges represent dependencies between them. So this matrix multiplication graph acts as the input to the DeepCPU optimizer. So this is shown as box one. So given a matrix multiplication graph, DeepCPU has a schedule generator that can generate valid schedules for executing the graph. That's shown as box two. So now for each schedule generated by the DeepCPU, DeepCPU performs a set of data locality optimizations shown as box 3, 4, 5, and 6, namely matrix multiplication fusion, reuse-aware parallelism generation, private cache-aware partitioning, and weight-centric streamlining. I'll go through each one of them in some detail. The first optimization technique that DeepCPU implements is matrix multiplication fusion, which fuses two matrix multiplication that shares a common input if there are no dependencies between them. So here you can see that the matrix multiplication shown in orange share a common input matrix W1 across all the time steps, and there are no dependencies between them. Therefore, they can all be fused into a single larger matrix multiplication. By fusing smaller matrix multiplications into a larger one, you're increasing the amount of core screen parallelism that helps in scalability. Additionally, we also improve the reuse of weight matrix W1 that improves performance. So the next optimization that DeepCPU performs is reuse-aware parallelism generator, which identifies the optimal parallelism degree for executing each matrix multiplication in the schedule. So the figure here shows the performance of matrix multiplications of different sizes as we change the number of threads. So you can see in general that a larger matrix multiplication scales to a larger number of threads, whereas for a small matrix multiplication, sometimes it's difficult even to scale beyond a single core. So in order to get the best possible performance, you have to identify the optimal parallelism degree for each one of the matrix multiplication. DeepCPU does this by simply using an auto-tuning mechanism to find the ideal parallelism degree. So the next two optimizations are called cache-aware partitioning and weight-centric streamlining. They work together to improve data reuse and reduce the data movement between L3 and L2 cache. So given a degree of parallelism, there are multiple ways in which you can execute a matrix multiplication. So for example, consider executing a matrix multiplication using two cores. One way to do this would be to divide the output into a top half and a bottom half, and use each thread to compute each one of these different halves. So to compute the first half, you require half of the input matrix, the entire weight matrix, and half of the output matrix. Right. So there's another way to do the same thing. You can divide the output into a left half and a right half. To do this, each core will require the entire input matrix, half of the weight matrix, and again, half of the output matrix. Now, if the size of the weights is much larger than the size of the input, then the second scheme has a much lower data movement than the first one. And so DeepCPU identifies the optimal partitioning that minimizes this data movement between L3 and L2 cache. So it does this. To do this, we derive an expression for a tight bound for the data movement between L3 and L2 cache for a general partitioning strategy. And then for a given level of parallelism, we simply choose the partitioning strategy that has the lowest data movement. So also note that in the previous example, the second scheme, each core only required half of the weight matrix, whereas the first one required the full weight matrix. Now, if the size of the weights required by a particular core can fit inside L2 cache, then it's possible to reuse it across multiple steps of the RNN computation by making sure that the mapping between the partitions and the cores does not change across the time steps. So the figure here shows weight-centric streamlining. This is called weight-centric streamlining in DeepCPU in action. So here, when executing the green matrix multiplication in step 2, initially the weights reside in L3 cache and so needs to be brought in from L3 to L2. But at step 3 and 4, the weights are already in L2, so the matrix multiplication can be executed much more quickly. So with these performance optimizations, DeepCPU can significantly outperform the state-of-the-art deep learning infrastructures such as TensorFlow and CNTK. The results presented here were run on a dual socket Xeon machine. And here we show the performance improvement of DeepCPU over TensorFlow and CNTK for two different types of recurrent neural networks, LSTMs and GRUs, which are the most popular recurrent neural networks used. We show the performance results for a wide range of model parameters. But on average, DeepCPU is 23 times faster than TensorFlow and 31 times faster than CNTK. These are the two popular deep learning frameworks. And it is 16 times faster than TensorFlow and 25 times faster than CNTK for GRUs. So one of the questions that we commonly get is, how about GPUs? Are GPUs significantly faster than CPUs? And our evaluations show that the answer is actually no, if the CPU implementation is well optimized. So here we have three different CPU implementations, TensorFlow, CNTK, and DeepCPU, and three different GPU implementations, CNTK, TensorFlow, and cuDNN, which is a highly optimized implementation for various deep learning operators from NVIDIA. The y-axis in these figures shows performance, shown as gigaflops, the number of computation performed per second. This is an efficiency metric, so higher the better. For the figure on the left, the x-axis shows the problem size. You can see that across all problem sizes, DeepCPU is significantly faster than all other implementations, including the highly optimized cuDNN implementation. For the figure on the right side, the x-axis represents the sequence length. So an interesting property of DeepCPU is its performance actually improves as you increase the sequence length. And this is because of weight-centric streamlining, where it enables weights to be reused across multiple steps of the sequence. So that's the end of the talk, and I want to kind of summarize. So to the best of our knowledge, DeepCPU is the fastest deep learning library for serving recurrent neural networks on CPU. It incurs 10 times lower latency than popular frameworks such as TensorFlow and CNTK. It empowers CPU to beat even the most highly optimized implementations on GPU for RNN serving. And DeepCPU has enabled Microsoft to ship over a dozen of different deep learning models with great latency and cost reduction. Thank you. Yeah.
Thank you for the question. Okay.
Yeah, nice work. I have a question about the hardware you are using here. For all of the evaluations, which kind of CPU you are using, and did you test the performance across different type of the Intel CPUs?
Yes, so these are basically Xeon lines of CPUs. We also tried it on some i7 CPUs. The Xeon CPUs are dual socket V4 2650, 20 cores, 10 cores per socket, or 12 cores per socket. Yeah.
Okay. And the size of the cache also changes?
The size of the L3 cache is about 60 megabytes. L1 and L2 cache is standard 64 kilobytes and 256 kilobytes for each core.
Okay, thank you.
I have a short question. Could you apply some of these techniques to GPU to create deep GPU?
Potentially, yes, because a GPU architecture also has a shared memory that is shared by each SM in a GPU memory. So you could do something similar to the weight-centric streamlining, where if you can fit the weights in the shared memory, you can keep them persistently. And I believe there are recent works after Deep CPU that that does this, even within Microsoft. Yeah.
Okay, thank you so much.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you, everyone.
I think there's someone who has a question.
Sorry, yeah.
I'm Kwangsung Kim from ARM. So since Microsoft is well known for using FPGAs for deep learning, have you tried using FPGA?
So there are lines of work for where we're trying to use FPGA, but the common problem with FPGA is, one, it's really hard to program.
Sure.
And two, you have a very limited amount of memory on the FPGA card. And if the model is larger than the amount of memory, then you either have to go back and forth between CPU and FPGA, or you would need multiple FPGAs hosting the model. So you would have to communicate between them. And our impression is that the results are not as good as it could be if the entire model could be hosted on FPGA. Yeah.